The Collective, what is going on? Welcome back to The Collective Podcast, where we are going a little bit deeper, diving in, and lately we've been going through our relationship series, and it has been just an absolute blast. I had so much fun last night talking about sex, what God's purpose was, his intentions behind it, and how amazing it is, and how it's such a powerful gift from God. And today we're continuing as we talk through some of these questions that you guys have been asking as far as relationships go. We've been sending in, having you guys send in all these relationship questions, and so we're going to continue today diving into those, answering some of those questions for you. Let me just say, man, this relationship series has been so awesome, and my prayer is that God has just opened your eyes to dating and relationships and how to do it in a God-honoring way. And so as we continue and dive into this, man, keep sending your questions. Our goal is to be here to walk with you, to do life with you, and to give you really a place where you can come to and know that, man, we're here for you and want to help you not only just grow in your faith, but live out a God-honoring life. And so that being said, let's dive into some of these questions. The first one I have today, I love it. It's a girl writing. She says, I met a guy. He's a Christian. But how can I encourage him to be more involved in a Christian community and in his walk with God? She says, this dude got me fallen head over heels. Like, I get excited every time I see his name pop up on my phone. Throughout the day, I think about him and just want to talk to him. But how do I not seem so clingy? I don't like to be clingy, but this dude is just a different breed. LOL. Man, that's awesome. I love your question. Such a good question. Let me wrap it back up. Girl, you got a ton of feelings for this guy. He says he's a Christian, but how do you encourage him to be more involved in Christian community and in his walk with God? Great question. Okay, I think the first thing I would tell you is this. It sounds like already you've got a ton of emotions and feelings involved in this relationship. So I would say be very careful in how you navigate it, not trying to be what draws him into Christian community and being that kind of source for him. But what I think you can do is surround him, get him around some awesome godly Christian guys that will help draw him into that community, that will help him in his walk with God. So figure out what he likes to do. If that's sports, if that's music, if that's arts, whatever it is that are his hobbies, his interests, and then find guys that are like-minded that he can relate with that will also pull him into strong biblical Christian community and help him grow in his relationship. And I think once you see that happen, it kind of goes into this whole thing of being friends, dating, hanging out, and doing all of life in these friend type of group situations. And then as you see his walk and that sort of thing progress, man, see what God does, see where a relationship goes and all of that. But then also check yourself. Ask God to just kind of slow you down and to help you keep some calm emotions as this thing goes and not to get too caught up and too far too soon and just be even keel. And then just have some community, some girls around you that are going to help check you and just help keep you on level ground with a level head. But I think it's a great question, and I love your heart behind it of how do you get him more involved in Christian community. And I think it's finding guys, even your own personal friends, that maybe you can be like, hey, here's this guy, here's where he's at. I'd love for you to reach out to him, see if you can bring him into the community and really start to walk with him. That's the best way to do it. Great question, though. I love it. All right, next question. How can I know when I'm ready to start dating? How can I know when I'm ready to start dating? Awesome question. I go back to really our part one of our dating series where we talked about our 2 weeks on dating. We did part one, and we talked about how do you know who to date? And I think when we look at that series, you can go back and watch it on podcast. You can go back and listen to it at The Collective. And we talked about who to date. I think taking those same principles and applying them to yourselves. The same thing you would ask is, are they ready to date? Are they dating material? Put them to yourself, meaning ask yourself, how is your foundation? What does your personal walk with Christ look like? How's that foundation set up? Are you really growing in your faith? Are you pursuing and committed to Christ? Are you committed to not just Christ, but to the body of believers? Are you in a local body of believers and in local community in the church? Are you serving the church? Are you plugged in? And then are you leading others to pursue Christ? Have you committed to things of Christ? Like, are you fully all in? And then do you have accountability in your life? How is your walk? How is your foundation? If you can answer some level-headed questions about that, if you can be like, man, I feel like honestly, my walk with Christ is really good where I'm at. I feel like I'm got my first things first. I feel like I have a solid foundation ready and set. And you ask some friends and some community around you, hey, I feel like I'm ready to date. You see me, you do life with me. What is your opinion? Do you think so? Then I think that's how you can get your answer. But then not just that, that doesn't mean once you get that answer that you just go take off looking for it. Again, I think you just continue to keep your eyes on Christ, continue to pursue Christ. And then when God brings you something or when you notice something or someone, man, that's when you take a notice of it. That's when you initiate that relationship. You may start to pursue them or ask them out or whatever that is. But I don't think just because all of a sudden, oh, I'm ready to date, you should just go throw yourself out there. No, keep your eyes fixed on Christ, pursuing him. And then if you notice someone out of the corner of your eye and you're like, man, they're awesome and they also have this solid foundation, then hey, ask them out on a date. See where it goes. See what God could do. Really good question. Next question. Hey, I'm in a committed relationship and have been dating her for well over 1 year. We went to high school together and we've known each other for a long time. We broke up for a few months, and during that time, she made the decision to sleep with someone else. When we got back together, she was honest and told me about it, but it has been a lot harder than I thought it would to deal with internally. Any advice? Man, I think, first of all, let me just say, I hear you. That is such a tough situation, and I can totally understand, man, such a long distance, a long time that you guys were in a relationship. And, man, that's heavy on the heart for sure. But I also think too, man, you have to go to really, how do you love them the way that Christ loves you, right? Man, God, we make mistake after mistake. We turn our back on him. We do all these things to him. And so yet he still lavishes his grace and his love upon us. And so I think within your own personal walk with God, you've got to find out, God, how do I fully just forgive them? And then how do I move past that? And ask God to just kind of mend and heal your heart towards it and offer them the same grace. I think not just that, but then, man, have you seen true change in their life even from that point? And knowing that, okay, they made that mistake, but they're not the same person that day that they are today. And I can see that tangibly in their lives. I think could be something that could help you move on and really do that. But ultimately, I think it comes to sitting at the foot of the cross and just allowing and just offering that over to God and be like, God, how do I continue to like heal from this? Yes, I forgive them, but just how do I heal? And letting God just kind of restore your heart, finding that and putting that in him. Great question. This is another really good question. Several of you have you asked this question, and I'm excited to dive into it. Last night, like I said, we talked about sex, and it was an awesome conversation that we got to have and dive into. So this question kind of comes based out of that. And what I love, let me just say this, what I love about this podcast and what I even want it to be moving forward, man, is a place where you guys can truly be open and honest and get real, authentic, raw answers. I think something that the culture has done is, man, podcasts are out there and they're talking about everything under the sun, but Christian believers, we want to keep some things as taboo and not necessarily talk about it because it's awkward or uncomfortable. So the fact that you sent this question in, I'm going to answer it 100% open, true, and honest, and I love that you sent it in. So whoever you are, keep it up. It's a great question. The question is, sex is meant to be saved for marriage. Where does oral sex stand within that? Is that meant to be saved for marriage too? Then, if so, what about kissing? Where does that fall into place? Really, really great question. It kind of reminds me of the question of, okay, hey, if we're trying to live in purity, how far is too far? Where does that all go? Man, the best answer I can give you is the Bible doesn't clearly say, hey, don't have oral sex. Essentially. What it does say is Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is adultery, right? So it says, put all that together. And that word, sexual immorality, that really actually comes out of this Greek word, which is porneia. And that word essentially means illicit sexual activity. It is, in general, this inclusive word for any kind of sexual immorality, and it actually occurs about 25 times in the New Testament. The NASB consistently, they translate it into the word fornication. So now, this word, it doesn't specifically say which kinds of sexual activity are immoral. However, since the rest of Scripture defines any sexual activity outside of marriage as off limits, it would all be considered porneia. So this word, this sexual activity, I think that means everything. I think that means oral sex, anal sex. You know, another question we got on here, which is a really good question and plays into this, is this question of, is sexual acts that are not sex, in quotations, foreplay, a sin before marriage? And I think, yes, I think what that context is telling you is like, hey, man, put to death all of that. Even the question of, is foreplay a sin before marriage? Where is foreplay leading you to? It's a stumbling block outside of marriage. It's a stumbling block that is only leading you to deeper sexual sin. So to begin to be getting in that is very dangerous. And I do believe it's a sin. I believe you're doing sexual things with your body with another person. And so to me, that really falls into what this word porneia is even saying. It's like sexual activity. Two people coming together for sexual activity, I think all falls into that. So I think, yes, oral sex, anal sex, foreplay, whatever you want to name it, just being blunt, being honest and getting real with you guys, I think all of that really dives into it. And I think that all falls into this sexual immorality. And here's why not to. It's like we talked about last night. You're only bringing in, as Scripture says, that like sex and sexual activity is intoxicating. You're only bringing these things in. It's bringing sin into what could be and should be a holy relationship, even a holy dating relationship, right? A God-honoring dating relationship. And then you bring sin in the mix of that and you start to put that in there. It's tainting this whole relationship and clouding the water and the view of what this relationship is. And like I said, the Word of God says that it's all intoxicating. And so it's muddying your heads and your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings. And so I would say stay away from it because it's only dangerous. But again, you have these feelings. And okay, I get that and I understand. So that's where it says, man, if you know that that's your person and you know they're the one and we're dating, man, get married, the Bible says. Like, don't wait. Guy, get on a knee, propose, figure out the timeline, do what it takes. Don't have a long engagement. Like, it's better to marry than to burn with passion and lust is what Scripture says. And so I would say do that. But then also, man, just surrender those feelings over to God. Ask God to give you accountability. I think with that, as your relationship gets stricter or gets stronger, I think your boundaries for sexual purity will have to get stricter. Because the more in this dating process you guys start to know each other, start to love each other, and begin in that process, you really start getting these feelings for each other, you're really going to have to get a lot stricter with your boundaries because now these heightened emotions of love and drawn attraction, and it's all going to be there. And so I think you have to draw those lines a lot further back, really, really fight for purity the longer you date because it's only going to get harder. Because the feelings are only going to be more intense and intensified. But that's such a good question. Thank you for being open and honest and asking that question. I hope that helps you with that answer. And again, always know, man, there is grace at the foot of the cross. God is a God who heals, who restores. He takes our brokenness, puts it all back together. And so, man, maybe you've made mistakes in that area. You're struggling in that area. Listen, don't run from God, but run to God. And he will heal you, he will restore you, he will walk with you and give you strength and peace. And, you know, the Bible says that his power is made perfect in our weakness. So in those moments of temptation, in those moments of weakness, flee sexual immorality, but also ask God to give you strength. Ask him to give you power to say no, to step back, and to have a clear head. Really good question, and I'm so glad that we're able to talk about it. Another question I got. I've accepted that it's not in God's plan for me to be in a relationship right now. Man, that's so cool of you. Awesome. Next, but how do I balance this season of singleness all while still having strong feelings for one of my close friends? Man, I think it's going to take, honestly, just determination. It's going to take you being like, hey, God, I know you're saying this isn't it. And really finding this peace in trusting God and trusting that, man, even though you have this feelings for this person that's in your friend group, man, do you trust God that, man, if God is saying no and you're preparing, that when the time is right, if that's who God has for you, he'll allow it to all work out. I would also say, too, a funny saying I always like to say, nobody likes raw chicken, right? It's gross. It's disgusting. And so God is clearly still cooking something up in you. He's still trying to work on you personally. And you know that God's saying, hey, it's not time. You're not ready yet. You haven't been fully cooked yet to step into that dating world. And you don't need to be in a relationship right now. So don't try and take raw chicken out of the oven and bite into it. It's only going to make you sick. And it's only going to make that other person sick that's also sharing it with you as well. So make sure you're at a place where, man, God has done a work in you and you feel like you have that solid foundation set. You're ready to step into dating. And then make sure they are as well. Maybe you get to the point where you're like, hey, I'm ready to go. But the other person that maybe you have feelings for or whatever isn't there yet. Man, just trust God, his timing, put it in his hands, and really allow him to be the master artist and to be the one who's writing the story of your life. All right, last question for us. Actually, two more questions. One, this goes into, I didn't hit on it, and I want to hit on it, but I think it's something that we need to talk through in this sense of how far is too far and kissing and all of that. You asked that question, what about kissing? Sorry, I didn't get to it. I'm getting to it now. I'm right here. I'm back on it. Had a little bit of an ADD moment. What about kissing? I think that's up to you. Here's what I would say. Did I kiss my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, while we were dating? Yes, I did. But I think it's something also, too, though, you just got to be careful with. You got to know yourself and really draw those lines of boundaries. I don't think kissing before marriage is wrong. That's, again, my personal opinion. I think everybody has their own opinion on that, and I respect everyone's opinion. What I would say, if the person you're dating feels that way, then respect their opinion. I also think, man, like, this may be old school, but don't kiss on the first date. Like, let them earn that. Make sure that you're not mixing that, which brings in more feelings too soon into the relationship. But then also, I would say, man, just set up really good boundaries, because kissing, it starts with one kiss and then it leads to kissing, which leads to making out, which next thing you know, if you're not careful, you're making out vertically on the couch or in the dorm room or wherever it is on the bed, and one thing leads to another. So all of that stuff, man, leads to chain reactions, which again, in God's context, in marriage, the way he created it, is awesome, is amazing. But be very careful in the dating context that it's not a stumbling block. It's not something that you do it in the wrong place, in the wrong setting, and it's really going to lead you to fall. And so that's kind of my opinion on kissing. Again, everybody has their own opinion out there when it comes to that. The Bible doesn't say don't kiss till marriage or don't do this or that. So I think that's up to you personally and your relationship with God and how you can balance your emotions in that. All right, now, last question. Say you have a friend back home that checks off all of the list of who you're looking for in a partner and is worth waiting for, but you are not sure if they actually like you right now or will even consider you as an option even in the future. What would you do? Worth the wait? If he doesn't feel the same way, do you think the Lord changes people's hearts and minds in this case? Wow, great question. I love that you sent that in and are really just opening up about that. I think, man, so you got a friend back home and they check off all the things you're looking for. I think there is this point where I would say, man, I think you got to let them know where you're at and just kind of be like, hey, I have feelings for you. What's out there for me? Like, do you have feelings for me? Could you ever have feelings for me? And honestly, just be bold and confident and have that conversation. You know, it's funny, we go back to what we talked about with Ruth and Boaz. Ruth went to Boaz and said, Boaz, here I am. What are you going to do about it? And so, listen, maybe go to him and be like, hey, I've always had these feelings for you, or I have these feelings for you. Could there be something there either now or in the future? And then that's up to you. If you feel like waiting, I would just trust God. I wouldn't wait necessarily just for that one individual person, but I would just wait for God's timing, to trust him that whoever God wants to bring in front of you and in that path for dating, that he will do that. And so just trust God with that. And if it ends up being that person, praise God. He's the master. And if it ends up being somebody else, I think you will have peace moving forward in that direction as well. Can God change people's hearts and minds in this case if he doesn't feel the same way? Man, that's a really tough thing. I mean, can God? Yes. Will he? I don't know. What I would say is, man, don't be so focused on one single person or individual. The person you should focus on is God and your relationship with him, and truly trusting that God knows you, that he cares about you, that he loves you, and that he wants what's best for you. If you're his son or his daughter, he really does. He wants to bless you and to love you. That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy and life's going to always be perfect. But as a child of God, he really is our provider, our protector, and he's always there for us. And so I think really just leaning into that relationship and trusting that God knows best for you. And if you'll let him write your story, the Word of God says that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so that he'll take you on a faith journey. There's no doubt about it. But it will be perfect, and he will write it out in a way that you'll look back and be like, ah, I totally get it, God. I totally understand what you are doing. So again, going back to God and really just dating with this open hand of, okay, God, I trust you. Whoever it is, if they come, if they go, I trust you that you know what's best for me and you have what's best for me as your son or as your daughter in Christ. So hey, great questions today. I loved it. Again, let's keep sending these in. I'm really, really excited for what we have coming down the pipe as well. After our relationship series, we're getting in a new relationship series, or a new series, I'm sorry, called Asking for a Friend. So we'll continue questions, and we'll continue to dive into some more of these questions of all these topics on life, love, and just navigating faith, what that looks like. And so feel free to send us in some questions, even geared toward that series coming up, and we'll continue to dive in. But other than that, man, if you are looking for a place to belong, if you are looking for a place to be known and needed, man, The Collective would love to have you. MPHX Church, Sunday mornings, would love to have you, and we would love to be the community and the family that you're looking for. God loves you. He's given you a place and a purpose in his family and in his kingdom. And so just continue to trust him, whether that's with a career, whether that's with family, or whether that is with your dating life. So all that being said, thanks for jumping on The Collective Podcast, going a little bit deeper with us. And we will see you next Wednesday at 7:30 for the last night of our relationship series. It's going to be a blast. Love you, Collective. We'll see you then.